What's in the news today?
With so many stories,
dozens of stories,
we're bound to miss a few.
I'm sorry, did I miss something?
It's In Case We Missed It with the Killer Bees.
And here's the stuff you missed.
Christian Pulisic, American hero, sacrificing life and limb for his country as he gets the United States men's national team on to the knockout stage of the World Cup. Did you see that goal yesterday, Brendan? Brendan was not here as
we were watching it live. Yeah,
Christian Pulisic put his Howard Balzers on the line to give the Americans the goal. The reason I say that is because we were talking to Howard Balzer
as it happened live. I didn't see it live. I was, I believe, unconscious probably at that time or still around that time. I did see it later.
That's an interesting thing to say with zero context,
by the way. No one had any idea why you were out yesterday. You're like, was he high? Was he drunk? Was something else going on?
I mentioned previously that I had a medical procedure.
No one knows that you were with the anesthesia and out of it.
I could be sleeping. I was sleeping at 1:30 yesterday.
Obviously, everything has went well. You're back. Part-time Brendan is back. I will say this. U.S. is off to face the Netherlands in the knockout stage. And there's only two things I hate in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's cultures and the Dutch.
Really?
That's right.
Okay.
That's absolutely right.
Now,
USA. Go USA.
Yeah, go USA is where I'm at because you guys know I'm not the biggest soccer aficionado like Glenn Davis and yourself. But I am curious about a letdown. Like, the big pressure on them was to get to the knockout stage. They got to the knockout stage.
I mean,
are you concerned about there being now a letdown and saying, we did what we needed to do, we got there?
Can you have a letdown whenever you're the heavy underdog?
I mean, I hope not, but I'm asking you. I'm asking if that's a concern.
I don't expect the U.S. to win this match.
Okay.
Against the Netherlands on Saturday.
We're not as heavy. I don't know anything about soccer. I expected them to be a heavier underdog than they were. I literally looked just for the sake of like knowing how much of a chance they had.
They're plus 175. Which,
right. It's not as bad as I thought it would be.
That was probably different because it could end in a draw. Mm-hmm. It could end in a draw. I don't know what they were against England. Probably plus, I would guess, if I had to guess, and earlier whenever I guessed this, I nailed it. I would say to lose the mat or to win. I bet you USA against England was probably
similar.
Let me go plus 195.
Okay.
Please, somebody let us know that. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. But the Netherlands are minus 235 to advance on Saturday. The Americans are plus 175 to advance on Saturday. But it's great to see this. I love World Cup. I love international soccer. I hope that I'm wrong. And the U.S. men's national team can beat the Dutch on Saturday. They wear orange, even though their flag's red, white, and blue. Explain that to me. Although I do know the answer. All right, college football.
Are you
going to
share
right
with
now?
Everybody or just going to leave everybody hanging?
Like the royal family, their last name's like Orange or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
kind of odd.
Yeah, it is kind of odd, but that's the reason. Yeah, I Googled it one day. Anyways, college football, they unveiled their rankings yesterday, which, you know, it is what it is. We know what the top four is going to be. If everything stays status quo, there's not going to be any drama. Now, if it doesn't stay status quo, TCU loses, USC loses, Michigan loses, it could open up the door for Ohio State. Yep. It could open up the door for a two-loss Alabama team. Blankers, mostly in my life, I've always been one in college football where I've rooted for absolute chaos because I hate the college football playoff. I think it's stupid. It's the only sport in the entire world that doesn't reward its entire league by having the opportunity to play for its title. This is the first time in my life that I hope there's no chaos in the college football playoff.
I hope it stays right the way it is because I like it every now and then to not have Ohio State and Alabama in it every single stinking year. Obviously, Oklahoma not being in it because they already sealed themselves with a horrible season. But if I can get Ohio State and Alabama out of it and let everybody else fight for it and we've gotten and identified who those four teams should be, because I'm with you. I think that it should be a more open playoff where everybody's got a shot, or at least, you know, the teams that have shown during the regular season that they're justified of a shot. And so I just personally would like to see at least one year where Oklahoma, Alabama, and Ohio State are all out of the running.
keep it the status quo. I've always rooted for chaos. This is the one year I don't want to root for chaos. And I've seen like the little 12-team brackets that they would, you know, when it eventually goes to that. Hopefully in 2024, if the Rose Bowl gets out of the way. This 12-team bracket's freaking awesome. I cannot wait to a real playoff in college football. I'm all in on this thing. It's fantastic. Last night in the NBA, you might have noticed this if you were watching some NBA.
I was.
The traveling calls have went skyward. There was 10 traveling calls in the Golden State-Dallas game. I actually went back and watched this on TikTok, thanks to my friend Screech. What do you make of all these travels that are going on in the NBA, the association?
I think it's good. And I think that from a couple of different perspectives. One, I told you every single year when we would go to New York as broadcasters to meet and we'd be in the same room with all the NBA officials, they would let us know, hey, this year a point of emphasis is going to be, and we're going to stop this. And it could be, you know, moving screens on high pick and rolls or something like that. This year, I think it's obvious that it's traveling calls. Now, I also think where it's interesting is I've had a lot of my friends that are ex-players talk to officials that have said, hey, we understand why people pay their money and who they want to see. So we're not going to call it in the first three quarters of the game, or we're going to call it in the first three quarters of the game. But in the fourth quarter, if LeBron or one of the best players in the game may take a little extra step in order to get something done or do a highlight type play, we may look the other way.
I'm in favor of enforcing the rules that are the rules. Mm-hmm. I saw the 10 travels in this game yesterday for the Golden State.
Did you see the one they called on Luka? On the pass to the corner?
There was two. That was the only one that I thought they got wrong.
I thought they got it wrong, too. And I thought that it was a farce that you couldn't review it.
That is kind of a farce.
Yeah. It's still a call that you want reviewed, and it could be a key point of the game. I think that should be reviewable.
Yeah, if you can review like a block charge, which is like the ultimate judgment call, you should be able to review the travel. That is kind of silly. Yep. I thought that was the only one of the 10 that they missed, though. I thought the rest that they got right. It looked like Luka took two steps and passed the ball. Now, you have a lot of these because the other nine, it's like dudes are like literally changing their pivot foot. Like,
oh, yeah.
Should you enforce that? Yeah. You should enforce that. They're dragging their pivot foot. Should you enforce that? Yeah, you should enforce that. So, like, do I think it's going to be bad for the Stars, or do I think they should let up for the Stars? No. And I think the Stars are going to learn, and I think they're going to learn quick.
I think that's the key. I think if the Stars understand they're going to call it more,
yeah,
and even if they're calling it for the first three quarters initially, the Stars themselves are going to adapt so that they don't do it in the fourth quarter when it's the most important time.
Yeah, they'll adapt. You got to stay consistent with it. Tiger Woods was set to play golf this week, but he pulled out due to plantar fasciitis. I've had that. It's terrible.
It is awful.
He says the plan is to play the majors in a couple of other tournaments a year. So we're looking at like six or seven times we see Tiger Woods a year in competition golf. I hate to see a legend go down like this, but we've seen the end of Tiger Woods as a major champion.
I don't know that we've seen the end yet because his golf game is still so good. And he said he can hit all the shots to where for one weekend at Augusta, when it's all about knowing course management and everything like that, that he can still win a major. I hate the fact that it's not going to be on a consistent basis. But the thing that's really irritating to me is with all the things he's overcome from the knee to this leg injury and the car accident and all that, the fact that I think something like plantar fasciitis is going to take him down when all his other injuries would have taken down just about everybody else in the free world.
I mean, look what happened to Achilles. I mean, sometimes it's the injuries we don't expect.
Achilles?
Yeah. Great God.
Oh, my God.
Got shot in Achilles. Like, sometimes the legends go down in funny ways. I mean, look what got Capone. Capone was tax evasion. Wasn't all the murders.
I'm disappointed that he's not going to be playing more.
I'm disappointed as well. Olu Fashanu. Bless you. He's going to stay at Penn State. This dude was projected to be the top tackle in the NFL draft. Top tackle. We're looking at a top five, top 10.
He knew he was
going to
be drafted by the Texans.
In the NFL. No, he didn't.
He decided to pass.
A lot of people think Bryce Young might do that.
Yep.
I am stunned. And I've been on the record of saying that I think with the new day and age in college athletics, with the NIL, name, image, likeness, that there's going to be more and more great college players that stay in college to capitalize on NILs. I never in my life thought that the projected top offensive lineman in a draft would stay another year in college. He was going to be a top 10 pick, and he's going back.
I need to see the NIL deals this guy's got, and I need to make sure that he's making a really good income next year. Otherwise, I don't believe this is the right decision because if you're a top 10 pick in the NFL, the payday is there, and that is a hell of a payday for an offensive lineman. you damn well better make sure that your NIL deals can equal what you were going to make in the NFL next season.
Yeah, this is nuts. I can't believe that that happened. I really was stunned when I saw that. Last one, Russell Wilson had a birthday party. His wife, Sierra, threw it for him. Very nice of her to do that. Half the team showed up. The other half, obviously.
Was it the defense?
Was not there.
After what happened last week in the complete facial of just disgust that he got from the defensive linemen coming off the field, I could see why the defense is getting frustrated with him. Basically, his inability to throw to make the right plays. I could see why the offense is frustrated with him.
Half the team said, we ain't riding. I think 50% turnout's actually pretty good. Maybe this is a contrarian opinion. I think 50% of the team showing up to Russell Wilson's birthday party is actually a high rate. If somebody threw a party for me here at this radio station, like if my wife threw me a party at the house on a random Tuesday night, there's no chance 50% of people show up. Absolutely not. I think the turnout rate for Russell Wilson was actually pretty high.
I mean, I think it's completely unrealistic to think the whole team's going to show. But I think that with each passing week, he's losing more teammates are jumping off the Russ bandwagon.
Yeah, I get it. I understand that. But I don't think that the attendance rate at his birthday party is the best example to use here.
Whoever the D lineman that yelled at him, was he there?
Would you go to Jake Asman if his girlfriend threw him a party?
No.
There you go. If RJ had a birthday party tonight, would you be in attendance?
I might pop in.
Why for RJ and not for Jake?
I like RJ.
You don't like Jake?
I didn't say that.
Oh, all right. 713-780-ESPN. If you could pick the next head coach for the Rockets, who would it be? It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about my good friend Doc Linville. Speaking of Jake Asman, he's a proud customer of Doc Linville. So am I. So is John Granato, Fred Fowler, and others. You could be the next in line to understand what a difference maker Doc Linville can be. Doc Linville is, in my opinion, the best in the business at the NeoGraft procedure. He does it right here in Houston, Texas. And he changes people's lives by giving them self-confidence again and liking the way they look on a daily basis. He gets your hair back. If you've got a forehead that's turned into an 8-head, if you've got that baboon's butt that keeps rearing its ugly head on top of your head, and you don't think there's any way you can fix it, you absolutely can. The NeoGraft procedure does exactly that, and the best part about it is it isn't sprays and creams and foams that mask the problem. It actually is your own hair taken from where you have a lot of it, will never lose it, mainly the sides and the back, and putting it where you need it most, namely those problem areas that I just told you about. And for you as an ESPN listener, it gets even better, because normally they charge $150 just to sit down and meet with Doc Linville and his staff. You get to meet with them for absolutely free. Ask all the questions. Get all the answers. Figure out if you're the next in line to be a candidate for the NeoGraft procedure. The one that got me, 95%+ of the follicles that are moved and replanted grow, stay, and are with you for the long haul. That's what was the convincing factor for me. But you can ask all the questions, from the procedure itself and how long it takes, recovery time, when you see the full results, and like I said, how much of the follicles actually stay and grow, and that's one that got me. Check them out today. Tell them I sent you by. Go to 975hair.com and sign up for that appointment. See my friend Doc Linville and his staff. They're the best in the business.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Branham, half of Branham's over here feverishly rooting along for El Tri. But you know I'm half Mexican, so I'm watching this little Mexican national team here. They're up 2-0 in their match. Argentina is leading Poland 1-0. But Mexico's still down a goal in goal differential, so they need something to happen. They need to score. They need Messi to do something. They need something.
I was told yesterday, mind you, I don't care for soccer until the World Cup.
But it matters.
I was told yesterday that people don't root for two countries.
Who told you that?
Friend who drove me to my procedure.
That's not true at all. You root for the country that you pull for, that you're a supporter for, then you root for the country that you're betting on. Absolutely, there's two countries you pull for. That's the stupidest thing
I've
ever heard.
John and Lance and Glenn had that discussion, I think it was this morning, because they got mad at, there's people that get mad at United States fans that also root for Mexico.
No, you can root for both if you're half Mexican, half American, I am.
I agree with that.
I'm half Mexican. What do you mean I can't? Half of my family is Mexican. Half of my family is white. Absolutely, I can root for USA and Mexico. Now, if they were to match up in a matchup, I'm pulling for USA.
I would hope so.
But I can pull for Mexico when they're playing Saudi Arabia.
I think it's reasonable,
too.
And I
hope that they advance over Poland. What do you mean?
I was just told by somebody yesterday that people don't root for two
countries. The dude that's driving you to go under. Like, you need to reevaluate who's driving you to go under, because that's
I don't have any choices. Most of my friends were either working before or after. Like, it didn't have any options.
I would have taken you.
Yeah?
Yeah,
you were a little busy.
As long as it didn't interfere with the my viewing of U.S. I told Blankers yesterday. I almost took yesterday off. I really did. For two reasons. One, America was playing. And two, we had to put up with BMAC after he lied to us on Monday and said it was cold in here when it was an oven.
I was like, I don't remember you saying you couldn't.
I'm still bitter at BMAC.
That was dirty, though, by the way. And then he claims that up until the start of our show, or maybe Paul's show, that it was an icebox in here. When we got in here the first day, it was a flat-out oven. And then yesterday, it was frigid the entire show.
Yeah. I think BMAC had everything to do with it. I'm still bitter at BMAC. All right. So the Rockets, they're going to play basketball again tonight in Denver. NBA is doing this thing where you go to the city and you stay there and you play like a series. So the Rockets play Denver Monday. They're playing Denver
Tillman
again tonight.
Save on travel time expenses.
That's great. Hey, no money. Hey, that's fine. I'm all for Uncle Tillman saving money if it means more money for U of H. I love Uncle Tillman. He's the best. Rockets, they might be in the business of a new coach. We'll see. If they move on from Silas at the end of the year, I've seen some growth, a little bit, albeit minor, some growth. Yeah. If you could pick the next coach for the Rockets, who would it be?
Quinn Snyder.
You know what? 713-780-ESPN. Who would yours be? 713-780-3776. I made a list of four where three of them were just funny. Uh-huh. They weren't real. The one coach that I had that was a real coach was Quinn Snyder.
Really?
This makes me sick.
Yeah.
This makes me feel gross and dirty.
You actually are smiling when you say that, though. So, I mean, I've thought about this for a while now because I just don't believe... I don't want to take anything away from Steven Silas. And like I said all along and have continued to say, he didn't sign up for this. But I think that for the betterment of this roster and this team going forward, I think that there has to be a different coach and a different approach. And I think a guy like Quinn Snyder, who's coached on the college level... who's also coached on the NBA level and been successful, that can start to really take these kids to the next level in terms of offensive and defensive systems and strategies and things like that. I think he'd be a guy that would be a really, really good fit for a young group of talented NBA players like the Rockets have.
Yeah, see, like ultimately, I want a coach who's going to force them to have structure.
Yes.
Maybe some offensive structure, maybe try to play some defense here. And
at least understand the concept.
So like Quinn Snyder, I think, is like the first name that comes to mind for me that would make them do that. But if you find another up-and-coming coach that you think would also have that same sort of result, same sort of impact, same sort of motivation, like, cool. Like, I can sign up easily for that.
Here's where I don't want someone under the so-and-so tree. I need someone, too, from a roster perspective that they can respect. They can look at a guy like Quinn Snyder and say, he's coached some really good Utah teams. He's taken teams to the playoffs. He's coached Donovan Mitchell. He's coached Rudy Gobert. He's coached teams that have put up good numbers to where I have to respect a guy like that. If you get a guy that was the number one assistant on so-and-so's staff, a lot of these kids are going, who? I don't know this dude. Let me see what he's all about. And then you're not going to get the same level of buy-in from day one.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind Quinn Snyder at all. Somebody like Quinn Snyder. Somebody that I would really, really like for the Rockets to hire as their head coach. How about Bill Self? He's done it all in the college game. He's a national championship winning coach. He's a formidable team at the big. I don't care about the Rockets here. I'm looking at it from a U of H point of view.
Okay.
You would imagine that Kansas would have some slippage after they lose Bill Self. Opens up the Big 12 for the Houston.
I like
Cougars,
the way you're thinking
baby.
There. I see your way of thinking.
Head coach of the Houston Rockets. Get him out of the Big 12.
If it's not for the betterment of the Rockets while you make the choice, then that's one thing. If it's there's too many college coaches that have fallen flat on their face when they've tried the
Quinn
NBA
Snyder's
game.
Quinn Snyder's a college coach.
Yeah, but he's also done it on the pro level and succeeded. I'm saying the guys that haven't, like John Calipari.
Yeah, but he's a recruiter.
Okay, but there's been other guys that have made the transition. Some well, and look, and there's also always the outliners that actually did well, like Brad Stevens. But there's also plenty of other guys that haven't. To me, it's like, and I'm trying to think. I'm interested. What about Ime Udoka?
Hide the women and children.
Well, that's obviously the first thing that you would have to do. Yes, I mean you'd have to deal with all of that. Would it be worth the trouble to say that from a coaching perspective?
I would never take my wife to a Rockets game.
Okay,
if he was the head coach. No, I think he's a good coach. Mm-hmm. He's a good coach. If you can like you have this conversation, you know, he comes in with some remorse,
right?
And like it's not going to happen again. I can guarantee you of that. Look, Ray Lewis allegedly killed somebody and played football again. Mike Vick did heinous things with pets and played football again. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of damage that have been done by coaches that have coached again. What he did, I think very low of. But at the same time, I do think he's deserving of a second chance. And if the Rockets want to hire the best coach, you could do far worse. So yeah, I would be fine with it.
Unlike the Nets situation where you always have, you already have so much dysfunction, distractions, and other things, that was the wrong guy at the wrong time for the wrong organization. But I think if you get, like you said, the big key first and foremost is he has to show remorse. He has to admit what he did. He has to, you know, basically own up to it and then be show that he's working on being a better person after it. But then you put him into a situation where, like you said, from a basketball perspective, he knows the game. He knows today's modern NBA, and he knows how to coach. And again, from a locker room perspective, coach really talented all-star caliber players as well as young players and get the most out of them, where I think he could do a lot of good.
713-780-ESPN. What's Red Auerbach up to? He's a really good resume.
He's not up to anything. He's 6 feet underground.
So does that make him unavailable?
Yeah.
You can't do it. All right. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Drew, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Drew?
Hey, how's it going? I had a suggestion for a coach. The coach I was thinking, I don't think he got a fair shot. He's in a toxic environment. Great offensive mind. My favorite player of all time, Steve Nash. That's my thought.
Ooh, that's a hard sell.
Yeah, I'm not big on Steve Nash, the coach.
I have a general theory with coaches all-encompassing across all sports. Never hire a great player to be the head coach. I don't think great players cut it out as head coaches.
I watched Jason Kidd coaching last night, and I'm still not sold on him.
Who's the best example of one that did work out? I know there's got to be
Kevin
some.
McHale's
he, as a
resume
coach,
is not great.
Yeah, he took one team that he kind of picked up on that mm-hmm. he had built as a general manager and took him to the Western Conference final.
Larry Bird had decent
Larry
success.
Larry Bird had a good run.
Now, he didn't last long. He got out of it pretty quick, which you could actually use as a case for not hiring great players. Great players over the like over the course of history that have become head coaches, managers, have not had tremendous success. Josh in Beaumont can go ahead and delete his Twitter, text, all of that right now. Never text our show again.
Oh, I got it. Before you even answer it, let me go because I was going to suggest it anyway. The anti-Jeremy answer to this question is Kelvin Sampson.
Shut your mouth.
It is Kelvin Sampson, who has been with the Rockets before, had great success as an assistant, had the respect of James Harden. Kelvin Sampson could be the next coach of the Houston Rockets.
What is your excitement level at facing Deshaun now versus what it was then? When we first found out Deshaun Watson, first game as a Brown, was going to be against the Texans. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. That last name mentioned, if he was the head coach of the Rockets, a lot of gin will bend coming my way. You know I like the vodka. You know I like the gin. You know I love the bourbon. All part of the rotation for me in a local Texas brand, Gentle Bend Spirits, does it better than anybody else. Gentle Bend is a line of ultra-premium Texas spirits. They use their state-of-the-art, innovative, Prosecco craft technology that's better in taste, better in aroma, better in purity than your favorite brand of vodka, gin, or bourbon. Purification of Gentle Bend is unrivaled. You'll love what's not in it. Try a sip of Gentle Bend, compare it to your brand, and you're going to taste the huge difference that I did that made me a Gentle Bend man. It is smooth. It is clean. It eliminates the burn. Enjoy your drink. Don't work through your drink. You can find the Gentle Bend Vodka and Gin at Total Wine. You can find it at Specs. You can find it online at gentlebend.com. And big news, as the bourbon is now out on the market, that double platinum winner in the prestigious Ascot Awards. You can find it at almost every Specs in the city of Houston, Longhorn Liquor in Mount Bellevue, Peter's Cut Rate in Angleton. Get your hands on the double platinum winner in the prestigious Ascot Awards, that Gentle Bend Bourbon. Also, if you're headed to a Rockets game, stop by the Gentle Bend Bar on the main concourse and take in some of those Gentle Bend spirits inside the Toyota Center. Sit back with good company and raise a glass to the very best, Gentle Bend.
All teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
People are texting us in coaches that have played and then became good. I said that great players don't become good coaches. People are texting us in Avery Johnson. Avery Johnson was not a great player. Steve Nash was a multi-time MVP. Somebody just texted in Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel is not a great player. player. Like, I'm talking about Hall of Famers, multi-time All-Stars, MVP winners. I'm not talking role players on a Super Bowl winning team or a point guard to David Robinson. 713-780
ESPN. Rabel was a first-team All-Pro once.
What, was he?
Henry was the starting point guard on multiple championship teams.
Okay, that's a role player.
So was Derek Fisher.
Vrabel isn't a perfect example, but if you're trying to find the best one, I think he's decent.
I'm talking about greats. I'm talking about like Hall of Famers. I'm talking about MVP winners. Yeah, Vrabel did win one All-Pro. That's surprising to me. He only made one Pro Bowl. That was that year.
Avery was never an All-Star, right?
I don't think. Maybe he snuck into one. I don't know.
Vrabel is not a great example.
No, he's not a great player.
I just don't think that there are a ton. I think it's a decent effort.
Anyways, El Tree, my Mexican.
Steve Kerr was an All-Star, right?
Come on.
He's the three-point champion.
Yeah, come on. Just because he went to NBA All-Star weekend doesn't make him an All-Star. So FIFA World Cup, we know that it's kind of complex, right? You play your group. You have four teams in each group, four countries. You play the round robin, three matches. Whoever has the most points, three for a win, one for a draw. The top two advance to the knockout stage. But a lot of times they tie in points. So whenever they tie in points, the first tiebreaker is goal differential. Right now, Mexico leads Saudi Arabia 2-0. Argentina, in the same group, is leading Poland 2-0. Long story short, right this moment, in real time, both matches going on at the same time, of course, on decision day, right now, this moment, they have the same amount of points for. Each team has one win, one draw if the result were to end this way. The goal differential is even. The next tiebreaker after goal differential is just goals scored. That is even. The next tiebreaker after goals scored is FIFA fair play. What does that mean, Branham? It means whoever has the fewest cards through three matches would advance to the knockout stage of the World Cup.
That is the ultimate level of BS.
Yeah.
You're talking about the fact that if you win and you win competitively, but you got Dennis Rodman or Draymond Green or guys that accumulate technical fouls, that you're going to be held back and held accountable so much so that you don't advance. That is total BS.
Yeah, hopefully it doesn't come down to that. Hopefully Mexico scores another goal or Argentina scores another goal and Mexico gets in. But
maybe someone just gets pissed off and gets another card.
That's what we were talking about out there. We're like, do you think the Polish coach right now is yelling at his 11 men on the field, don't pick up a card, guys. Don't worry about scoring. Try to prevent a goal, but don't pick up a card. Do not pick up a card and cost us the FIFA fair point.
God, that's an awful way to decide it.
It's kind of similar to college football a little bit. Like college football, why are you laughing at that, Brendan? You don't even know where I'm going here.
I just think it's funny because college football, there's so much subjectivity in deciding the playoffs.
Yeah.
So
it's not the playoff, actually. It's the bowl games.
Okay.
So there's so many bowl games now that, you know, if you win six games, you qualify for a bowl game. There's one team, I think it's, I can't remember who it was. Maybe it was New Mexico State, where New Mexico State has five wins right now. And one of their games earlier this year got canceled. So they literally, like 2 days ago or yesterday, finalized an agreement with Valparaiso where they're going to play them this week so they can pick up bowl win, like win number six and become bowl eligible. But they also, the college bowl system this year, they don't have enough teams that won six games.
Right.
So the next tiebreaker, and Rice is a big factor
here. Rice is in it. I was going to say, Rice is in that.
The top-ranked five-win teams based on APR. Based on APR, become bowl eligible to fill the gaps. So Rice is going to go to a bowl game, not because they won six games, but because they had the highest APR score of all the five-win teams in the country. So congratulations to the Owls. I mean that sincerely. I think Blomgren is doing a pretty good job over there.
I can't believe that there's even questions about whether he should be renewed.
I haven't heard that. Have you heard that?
Yeah, the news was talking about whether he was going to get a new contract and all these other. I don't know, especially with the requirements from a grade point perspective and all that at a school and an institution at like Rice, I think he's done a phenomenal job.
Yeah, I think he's done a really good job too. I didn't really mean to be tongue in cheek with that, but yeah, I think FIFA right now, the way that they handle this, where the third tiebreaker, I guess, comes down to FIFA fair play points. What are the worst rules in sports? Because this is one of them. 713-780 ESPN, 713-780-3776. Blankers, we knew that when Deshaun Watson, when they announced the suspension, the appeal, the settlement, whatever, that his first game back was going to be against the Houston Texans. We knew that before the season started. Everybody bought tickets. Everybody circled their calendars, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. People were pumped up. People were excited. That was going to be the biggest game of the year for the Houston Texans. Here we are, game week. I don't feel that excitement. How much has the excitement fallen off from when we first knew that Deshaun Watson's first game back was going to be against the Texans to where we are now?
I think it's a ton. And I think I don't know if it's excitement or just anticipation. There was anticipation because of the fact that all that had gone on and the irony of the fact that his first game back was going to not only be against the Texans but be in this city, but also with the hope that at that point the season the Texans would be competitive enough to have a really puncher's chance of winning that football game. And I think because of all that has happened since then in terms of more so with the Texans than with the Browns, that you look at it now and say, I don't know that the Texans have a snowball's chance in hell of being competitive in this game. So therefore, I don't know that anybody wants to go to the game like they did when the schedule was first announced and then the suspension followed up to show you that this was going to be a big game, because people don't want to be there screaming their tails off and thinking that they're going to have a chance to be a part of showing up to Deshaun Watson and winning a football game, because they know they don't.
Yeah, my level of excitement's not there for this like I thought it would be either. In fact, remember, like, we had the embrace the suck conversation all offseason. People thought we were nuts for embracing the suck going into this year when the Texans could win seven games, up to seven games this year. Why would you embrace the suck when the Texans roster is capable of winning seven games? You guys are morons. That's terrible takes. All those people now are embracing the suck and want the number one pick
coming up
on April 27th. Even those people are wanting the first pick on April 27th because I think it's the most exciting thing that can happen to this organization. That said, like, we had the conversation at the time. Would you sacrifice, because we were embraced to suck, would you sacrifice one of the losses? You beat Deshaun Watson. And it might cost you a couple of slots in the draft. At the time, I don't remember your answer, but I was like, sure, yeah, I'll take that to beat Deshaun Watson, to show that pervert what's up. I want the Texans to lose on Sunday. I want them to guarantee that's top spot in the NFL draft.
I don't know. I don't remember what I said back then, but yeah, I mean, I was pretty adamant about getting Bryce Young, and so I tend to think that I was leaning towards, I don't even want to see it for that week, but I understand it if you do, and that's simply because of all that's gone down to turn this franchise upside down. And though it wasn't all, you know, directly on Deshaun and this situation and Jack Easterby and some of the Bill O'Brien, some of the things we talked about previously in the show come to the forefront of also being factors, but this situation, how it lingered on, how it continually was this hovering black cloud over this franchise, and how many people it affected in this city. I understand everybody and their desire to want to unload on this dude and just let everybody that's watching on TV basically, what, wrong terminology?
Yeah.
And basically, you know, express to the everybody watching on TV just how much disdain there is for this guy in this city. But at this point now, with as much time has passed too, I think that also has worn off.
Yeah, I was. I think it has worn off. I'm curious where the fan base is on that as well, because look, there's still going to be both sides of it. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Double Rod says Texans lose and a blown ACL for Watson would be ideal. Are we to the point where we're rooting for
injury?
I don't. Is that?
Do we not stoop to his level?
Is that? That's a very different level. That's a very different level where you're rooting injury for somebody and sexually misconducting, allegedly, 20-something women. I feel like that's two different levels.
I just think that, I mean, as a person, your level of, in, you know, whatever, your values and integrity and everything else, you don't have to go to the point of saying, I wish someone else would get hurt.
Right. Yeah, I don't want anybody to get hurt.
He made a lot of, like you said, he made a lot of really dumb decisions, allegedly, and made some really bad choices. I don't think that any of that should change you as a person and your values and beliefs saying, I wish this dude got hurt.
Can you say to have a lack of football success?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that fair?
I hope he craps the bed, pees down his leg, and gets embarrassed.
I think the entire city is rooting for him to embarrass himself.
Yep. Three picks, four picks,
and somehow
whatever.
Still lose.
I think so, too. 3500, doesn't it help your draft pick by beating Cleveland since we own that draft pick? LOL. So it would hurt the Houston Texans draft pick that you own, although you wouldn't move a slot. It just becomes a little bit more in jeopardy because you're two wins clear of anybody else. And it would improve Cleveland's pick. So it's a balance, but just because you beat Cleveland doesn't mean you're in a better situation.
It's actually an interesting gamble.
Now, it is an interesting gamble.
If you say, look, I don't believe the Texans are capable of winning another game, I'll take this win.
It's a little deal or no deal, for being honest.
It's very deal or no deal.
It's a little deal or no deal. Here's your situation. You can continue to play on, but all of these things come into play. Because, look, The Texans are a couple of games clear from the number two spot in the NFL draft. Should the Texans win, so it hurts that Cleveland or helps that Cleveland Browns draft pick, I guess. 0496. How do Texans players feel about playing against Deshaun? I honestly don't think that
how many guys are left
care that much. There's not. Well, that's one thing. There's not many guys left that actually like dealt with Deshaun. A lot of people liked Deshaun Watson, even what happened and all of that. Like there really was never a whole lot of disdain there. I think what you said, that a lot of them are gone as well. And then like the players that are playing for the Texans, a lot of them are playing for jobs next year. They're playing for starting jobs, whether it's on the Texans. They're playing to find a roster spot somewhere else. I don't know how much this game to me is a lot bigger outside of the locker room than it is inside the locker room.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely true. Now, don't think for a second that one of the guys on the defensive side of the football would love to be the guy that gets to Deshaun Watson, puts a big hit on him, and becomes like a folk hero in this city, because that could also help him retain his job next season in terms of being a popular player that everybody's like, that's our dude right there, because he did what the whole city wanted to do. Well, I mean, that could happen. But I think that, look, nothing changes from a locker room perspective or a roster perspective. They want to play their best football, because whether they're playing here or somewhere else, they want to remain having a job in the NFL.
Has the buzz died down from when you first found out Deshaun Watson's first game was going to be in Houston to, here we are, game week, Deshaun Watson's first game against Houston? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Also, watching the Texans is like wanting blank and getting blank. You tell us. Watching the Texans is like wanting fill in the blank and getting fill in the blank. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Eric the driver says, does the Predator get police protection the whole time he's in the city? Yeah, I think that there are officers that are with the team the entire time that they're in the city. So, yeah, I mean, that would apply
every
as well.
Every team employs, in most cases, ex-police and military personnel that are their team security. I would pretty much bet a lot of money that the team security is going to be focused on one player while they visit Houston.
Yeah, there'll be people that have their eyes on the Predator, as Eric the driver put it. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Watching the Texans is like wanting blank and getting blank. I'll start one off. Ocho already has one texted in. You can as well. 713-780-3776. Watching the Texans is like wanting to watch Hamlet and getting Mr. Bean. Ever watch either one?
No.
I haven't either. But I hear Hamlet's great. I've actually seen bits and pieces of Mr. Bean, and Mr. Bean is tragic. Mr. Bean's terrible. I can't stand that sort of humor. I don't know that I could even try. No, it's awful. I think it's very, very bad. 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. I'm out thou ever now
on the way they speak in Hamlet. It's just, I'm just not my thing.
Watching the Texans is like wanting blank and getting what? Ocho says watching the Texans is like wanting U of H versus Norfolk State, but getting U of H versus Kent State. I understand. U of H offensively yesterday against Norfolk State was unbelievable. 100 points, first time this season for the Houston Cougars. Marcus Sasser was in the 20s. Mm. Very good.
Good uniforms, too, according to Pauly G.
Yeah, he did like the throwbacks. Throwbacks are pretty cool.
Watching the Houston Texans is like expecting Picasso to paint a masterpiece and instead having to watch paint dry.
That's very good.
Thank you.
Yeah, Picasso's masterpieces are all very, very good. I think watching the Texans, like wanting to watch or wanting to get, rather, wanting to eat a fat, juicy steak and getting a vegan sandwich. It's wanting a nice, juicy steak and getting some sort of vegan sandwich.
Vegan, too.
Yeah, he went all the way there.
Yeah, I think that that's what like what's watching the Texans. Watching the Texans is like wanting some Gentle Ben bourbon and getting whatever Jake is peddling. I think that that's what watching the Texans is like. It's wanting some Gentle Ben. Watching the Texans is like wanting some Gentle Ben bourbon and getting whatever it is that Jake likes to.
You're not a fan of the Bush?
I don't know what it is. I told you I didn't know what it is.
Okay, I do.
I didn't know what it was. 713-780-ESPN. Watching the Texans is like wanting what and getting
what? Watching the Texans is like wanting Eggs Benedict but getting 30-day-old deviled eggs.
I like deviled eggs.
Stinky and 30, nasty.
I like deviled eggs, but there is a shelf life.
Not 30 days of it. Yeah.
And the shelf life might be a day, honestly. Like, the shelf life for a deviled egg might be a day.
Like, there's not much in which I, like, will go when I see it. There's that commercial where the grandma pulls out for the kids as a snack, like, week-old deviled eggs, and I'm like, oh, God, that's got to just be just the smell of it alone.
Watching the Texans is like blank and getting blank. 7888 saying it's like wanting a gorgeous woman and getting a fat, hairy dude. I mean, wow. There might not be anything wrong with that. It depends on who you are. Different strokes for different folks. 7888. 6545 says, who doesn't like Mr. Bean? SMH Bad Take Boulevard. Am I in the wrong here?
I don't like Mr. Bean.
For thinking Mr. Bean's bad? Am I in the wrong
here? I've seen enough previews and enough, and I've never even seen a full episode or movies of Mr. I'm not going to watch Mr. Bean.
Am I in the wrong? Is it a hot take, a bad take that Mr. Bean's
Hamlet might have been the wrong choice.
But Hamlet's like a great play.
Yeah, I get what you're going for.
You settle for this slapstick comedy.
But I think, like, the average person isn't actually looking to like, watch Hamlet.
Yeah, that's probably
but
true.
I didn't get criticized for
Hamlet. I got criticized for saying Mr. Bean was bad.
Yeah, well.
Brendan might like this one from 3000. It's wanting Illmatic and getting Lil Nas X. There you go.
Yeah.
5282. It's like wanting blank and getting brown. I tip my cap to you, 5282. That's pretty good. Ryan says it's wanting a Coke and being told they only have Pepsi. This is one that you always talk about.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that one. I don't think it's drastic enough to be having to stomach watching the Texans, but I get it's a good comparison.
A lot of people here I think are Deshaun Watson. A lot of very, very dirty things that are being sent to our text line. Please stop. The Wheelhouse is about to be on, and they would really appreciate if you stop singing or sending this stuff.
It's like wanting the top 10 quarterback and getting Davis Mills.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's not a bad point.
Well played, sir.
It's like thinking you have a franchise quarterback and a future MVP and a Super Bowl winning champion, perhaps, and getting Deshaun Watson was a huge letdown because people thought he was going to win an MVP, maybe a Super Bowl championship. Watching the Texans is like wanting what and getting what? 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Joe, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees.
Hello.
Hey.
My answer was like wanting beluga caviar and getting bullcrap.
Wow.
I don't really dabble in the caviar
game. I don't either.
Bank account reasons, but I like it. Like, you know,
do you really?
No, I'm saying I like the
analogy. Oh, you like the analogy.
I've had it once.
I'm not big on the taste.
I've had it
caviar.
Once, I think, at a French restaurant. I thought it was okay. Like, I didn't pretty dislike overrated. It. I thought it was overrated.
Yeah.
I think it's more of a status thing.
Very much
because,
so.
Because, like, I didn't think it was bad, but I'm also, like, not going to seek it out.
Yeah.
Like, even if it was affordable, even if it was something that I could get my hands on, I wouldn't do it.
Is it like wanting Bill Belichick and getting either Bill O'Brien or Nick Caserio?
Yeah, absolutely. Patriots assistant. Insert Patriots assistant into that blank. It's like it's like wanting a really good new head coach and getting Lovie Smith. You could also insert David Culley there. You could insert either one.
Yeah, you sure could.
713-780-ESPN. It's like wanting cranberry sauce and getting beets.
Okay.
It's a pretty good one with the Thanksgiving going on.
And you know how much I have disdain for both.
It's like wanting a good dinner and getting Thanksgiving dinner.
Why, exactly.
If you're Brendan,
1970 didn't really do the analogy here, but he said it's like watching AJ Hoffman fight in MMA. So maybe it's like wanting Anderson Silva and getting AJ Hoffman in MMA.
I've heard stories. I don't know.
I thought he was undefeated, right?
Maybe
it was the fat guy that he beat up that texted us that.
Maybe.
Well, watching the Texans is like ordering sweet tea and being told we were only serving unsweetened. It's not a bad one. I don't mind a little unsweet tea every now and then. 8635.
That reminds me of my Olive Garden story. Wanting apple juice for the kids, being told they're out, and then seeing the table next to us get apple juice.
Yeah, see, there's always some disappointments in restaurants. It's like wanting French fries from McDonald's. They're all out, and you get apple slices.
Ooh, like that's an option with the Happy Meals with my kids. Not don't even ask me that.
713-780-ESPN. Watching the Texans is like blank and getting blank. 713-780-3776. Go out to the HRMP listener line. Rob, what you got?
Rob, got to go quick. Let's go.
Yeah. Hey, watching the Texans is like wanting a massage but getting a colonoscopy.
Okay. Very apropos this week.
That's not yet. That's what I was about to say.
Yeah.
Like, that's not, I wasn't imagining that. Another person said, like, wanting a Coke and being brought a Pepsi. It's like wanting pecan pie and getting mud pie.
Okay.
You don't like pecan pie, though,
I don't.
Right?
No, I don't.
Yeah, and you wonder why we can criticize your food takes.
Me? There's very few food takes you criticize of mine as a, compared to Brendan.
No, Brendan has more, granted, but you have a fair share.
Do you like rhubarb pie?
No. Yeah, I've never had rhubarb pie. Is that the steel that they use to build buildings?
No.
I've never
That's
had.
Rhubarb. But nice
know,
try.
I was kidding. Yeah, I've never had rhubarb pie. What's in it?
It's like rhubarb is like a plant that grows in the garden. It has a red stem and green leaves, and it's really just disgusting to me.
Is it like mushroomy?
No, it's more like lettuce or cabbagey.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but just
What do they call that family? The Brocchelia family, I think?
Something like that. I don't
713-780-ESPN. It's like wanting a Ferrari and getting a Fiero. I think Saudi Arabia just scored against the Mexicans.
They did.
That's not good. That's going to lose. First off, the Mexicans needed another goal, or they needed Argentina to score a goal on Poland. So at least now, FIFA kind of saves face here to where Poland's not going to advance because of the FIFA fair point. Or whatever. Fair play points. So at least they dodged that bullet. But it looks like the Mexicans are going home. That stinks. Wow. What's coming up on the Wheelhouse today?
Football.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks to Brendan for doing all the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.